B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Checkpoint Daily on this beautiful Friday Eve. We hope you are having a great time getting ready for the weekend. And I hope that you enjoy our discussions for today. I am your host, Norris Howard. To my left, Chad Callahan. Chad, are you ready?
For?
The weekend.
Just answer the question.
I mean, I guess.
Are you ready?
I mean,
just, are you ready?
Do you feel prepared?
Can you dig it?
Ridiculous. Anyway, and Callie Scales to my right. How are you, Callie?
Prepared. Ready.
That's
the
right.
Opposite of Chad.
Exactly.
I don't know what for, but I'm ready for it.
When somebody asks you, are you ready?
I'm not going to go in because if someone says, are you ready? And then I'm all of a sudden in an airplane and I'm about to jump out of it. Like, no, I'm not ready for this.
We're not in an airplane.
We don't know. I could start on the ground. They're like, we abduct you, take you up into the airplane. They're like, all right, let's go. Jump out. They take the bag
off my head.
You know
what I'm
going to
do?
Chad's world is terrifying. Chad lives in a terrifying world where it's like, are you ready? And he's like, yes. And then they're like, kick him in the ball.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm saying, are you ready? And I'm going to just punch him in his chest.
Yeah. Y'all didn't go to high school with me, so.
Clearly not.
It was a very dangerous place.
Omega Wealthall says, ready for some FUBAR.
Yes. No, I'm not.
Michigan State, Saturday.
Don't care.
At noon.
I really
Michigan
wish.
State sucks.
I wish I cared.
I wish I cared,
Callie.
Sure.
Yeah, Callie.
They're terrible.
Don't care. Want to know why? Because we got video games to talk about.
We do.
So here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
Alrighty, so first and foremost, I wanted to bring this up because we actually have a disagreement on the cast about this one. Yesterday, the PS5, one of the launch ads dropped. And launch is the right word because it does start with a spaceship
an actual launch.
It does.
So I know we have a very divided opinion on this.
It's more like two-thirds to a third.
Well, I mean, as it would have to be on a show like this. I'll start.
Okay.
I hate this advertisement. I think this is an incredibly well-made video.
Yes. Oh, don't get
me
wrong.
Let me start with that.
Yeah.
I think it's an unbelievably well-made video. As far as a minute of cinema goes, actually, it's really good. It just in no way makes me want to purchase or experience a PlayStation 5.
No. It actually does the opposite.
It makes me want to go outside and go for a hike.
You know, I don't want to come off and say, like, this is a bad ad. The ad was shot bad.
Or,
like, it was a terrible ad. But, like, I want to say it was a bad ad for PlayStation. If it was a go out and experience the world, travel, do something ad, that's what I got from it. It got me spirited to be like, I want to do these things.
You guys,
so weird being like, stay inside, play PlayStation 5.
No, you guys are being,
here's
what you're doing. You're looking at the surface, okay?
Okay.
We're talking about Sony, right? A company who has made a history on creating very obtuse, weird ads, okay?
I would say very bad advertisements.
And to say that this is anywhere near the stupid blinking baby from PS3 era is a farce.
Okay,
number one.
Here's the thing, though, about the blinking baby. I remember the blinking baby.
Yeah.
I will not remember this stupid ad in 5 years.
No,
Maybe not.
I remember the blinking baby. I don't know if that's a good thing that I remember it.
Maybe not.
I don't remember for a good reason.
Maybe not. But I'll tell you this. This was a significantly better ad than you guys are giving it credit for.
Okay.
And the number one reason as to why you guys are not giving it credit is because you're thinking about this like it's supposed to be a video game ad, okay?
What is it supposed to be then?
It's a console ad. It's an idea ad, okay? It is the idea of the PlayStation and not necessarily PlayStation games. Now, does that sound weird? Absolutely. Could they have done a better job? Absolutely. I'm not going to say that this is a world-beating, amazing ad. This is not the Assassin's Creed Revelations ad or trailer, which was wonderful.
That was really
good. Yep. It's not that. I'm not saying it is. But here's the point that I think people need to understand, okay? Is that Sony is a technology brand. Okay.
Okay.
They're not just video games, not just sound stuff, whatever, right? And the concept of what they were talking about is the concept of new boundaries.
Yes, exploring.
New ideas.
Yes, exploring
exploration and all this good stuff.
I agree.
Pushing the limits, okay?
I agree.
And all of that is supposed to be a parallel for what the PlayStation 5 is supposed to do.
I agree.
Now,
it didn't come across.
If you paid attention in the ads, they have put in different, you know, they
the
put
square,
in the square.
The X, the circle,
and
the
X,
it wasn't even subtle. So
and all
not
this
even
good
like,
stuff.
Don't
that's
say pay
in,
attention.
That's in there, dude. I think it's a good ad. I think it's not. Is it the best ad in the world?
No.
But I think to call it a bad ad is disingenuous.
I think that, okay, maybe bad ad is not where it is if we're comparing it to the weird baby blinker. But at the same point, I think it misses the mark. It doesn't, you know, like, it doesn't feel like it's this, the way you're explaining it. It doesn't feel like this is where they're going with it. It felt like they were trying to, I don't know, do the Nike thing.
Be bigger than what they are.
They were trying to do that Nike thing where it's like, you can go out, you could be the next big, you know, whatever star, mm-hmm. blah, blah. That's what
just
it felt
do
like.
It.
And it's, yeah, the just do it. And it's like, that's not you, PlayStation. Why are you doing that?
All right, that's fair. That actually is fair. I will give you from that assessment, you're right. They tried to be Nike, and they weren't Nike. It's not a bad ad. It's a decent ad. That may have missed the mark.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? In the spirit of compromise this election season, we will settle on it's a decent ad that missed the mark.
Yeah, fine.
All right, up next, we got to hit on this because Jon Stewart is returning to television. After 5 years since the end of The Daily Show, but he's not coming back to do The Daily Show. He is signed to do a deal with Apple TV.
it's dead. it's dead.
Maybe, Apple actually has quite a few things that are pretty good.
It's dead.
I know. They keep, like, I hate that there's like three series on Apple TV that are actually really good.
I get it free with my phone, so I'm
do you?
Yep.
Okay.
So do I.
He's coming back
it.
To do a show in the same vein as like Last Week Tonight.
Here's the thing that excites me about that is that he is not stunned by, like, I'm sure Comedy Central didn't like necessarily be like, you can't do these things, but still, like, that cable TV thing,
yeah,
is still kind of you know, you have to have some parameters.
Well, there's a reason
things.
That John Oliver took the check from HBO,
exactly. Right. So I feel like this is a good spot for him. I feel like going to streaming is actually a really good place. Apple TV, maybe not the most seen thing, but still, I think it's a good place for him to go.
I'm on the fence because I think when you talk about shows like Jon Stewart's, I think the writing team is incredibly important.
Yeah, same with Last Week Tonight. The writing team is unbelievable.
Absolutely. By the way, John Oliver and Stephen Colbert both wrote for Jon Stewart.
Both former Daily Show correspondents
and
writers.
So I feel like, you know, unless he can find the next one of those
What's Rob Corddry doing these
days?
Yeah,
unless you find the next one of those two, I'm not sure how this lands.
I
don't know the install base of Apple TV compared to a HBO.
It might not be.
Oh, for sure. I don't think it's nearly what HBO is. I don't know that it's... I don't think it's also going to operate on the budget that Last Week Tonight does. They have an unbelievable budget for that show.
Which is hilarious because you wouldn't think...
It's very basic. Yeah.
I mean, they spend it on stupid crap all the time. But it's like, I love that someone had to go into the boardroom at HBO and say, we need a 18 by 20 foot cake.
Yeah, or they'll say, so it's Q4 and we need to finish spending for this year. How about we put everybody in rubber Trump suits?
Right.
And we make them skydive, and then afterwards we buy 45,000 URLs.
We are going to rent out Times Square for a choreographed song and dance number. All right. I guess that's what we're going to do. So my point, though, like Apple TV, right? Mythic Quest was Apple TV.
Oh, and that
and
show
Mythic Quest
is
great.
Fantastic. For anything else, I'd say Apple TV is worth like at least checking out for a month just for Mythic Quest.
Yeah.
Alone.
I think 100%. So. That's what we did. We bought it for a month to watch all of Mythic Quest.
I got subscription fatigue, man. Where I'm at is where I'm at. I don't want anything new.
If it wasn't free, I probably wouldn't have.
I don't want anything new, man.
I hear you.
I'm tired of it. And so, on top of that, Apple TV, just I don't feel it.
I'm getting back into anime, right?
Yeah.
And so like Crunchyroll was like the go-to. Yeah, but except it turns out that at some point, now there's like seven more of those services that different animes are on. There's like High Dive and like a bunch more of them. Like, damn it. That's like six new sub-services.
I'm to a point, legit, if you ain't on Netflix, you ain't on HBO, you ain't on Hulu or Amazon, I don't care. Your show's dead to me.
The thing that I'm noticing, and I'm curious to see, with subscriptions at least, I'm curious to see how it'll go. I'm noticing a lot of like, hey, if you have Hulu, you also have Disney Plus.
Yeah,
and
they're
ESPN.
Starting to band together
I'm
now.
I'm wondering, I have a feeling we're going to start seeing this more and more.
It
like
has
HBO
to consolidate.
Max and,
it has to consolidate.
We're going to get like 20 of these services all bundled together, and it's going to be a cable
it's
package.
It's going to be cable.
We're going to be back to where we started.
That's Well, yeah, that's true, but that's the worst part about it. Is
listen,
like,
I have Sling.
We made this ourselves. We've paved this road ourselves
sure
as
have.
Consumers.
No, oh, yeah. I have Sling, and let me tell you, the biggest difference is the concept of, if I know I'm not watching TV at all this month, I don't have to pay for it.
That's pretty nice.
That's the That's best true. Part about it. So
I guess at the same time, it is nice, like knowing, like, yeah, I have control over, well, semi control over, like what I want, and it's still less than cable.
Yeah.
As of right now.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so the last thing we got to hit on, Watch Dogs Legion drops today. It's out.
So Watch Dogs Legion is interesting. Way back in E3 2019, I got a chance to play a very early build of this game. And I thought the idea was pretty amazing.
Okay, now I'm making sure I've got the right series in mind.
Yes.
Because I believe this is a series that twice now I have bought into this game.
Yeah.
And been horrifically disappointed because they didn't deliver on anything they promised.
Yeah,
especially I think it was Watch Dogs 2 that was egregious.
Watch Dogs 2 was not great.
Yeah.
But it's often very buggy and not in that charming Bethesda way. But
more like in charming? A what a waste of money kind of way.
Yeah. But this has been getting pretty good reviews on the rounds. But one thing I will say about this, and if you're unfamiliar with Watch Dogs Legion, this is a series that comes from Ubisoft, sandbox game. Focus on technology,
what?
Controlling technology.
Ubisoft make a sandbox game?
What?
No.
Who'd have thought? But what I really like about this is that there's a system within this game that allows you to literally play as any NPC in the game. You can if you see this person, you can recruit them to your cause, and they are playable. That is some revolutionary shit that we have never seen in a video game before.
Okay, here's my thing with that. That is primo Watch Dogs. Like that is like right up the alley of promising something that you can't deliver on. Because that is what Watch Dogs does.
I'm going to tell you, from what I saw and what I see, it works, and it works well.
If it works, that's amazing.
Every NPC or every character, I can't even call them NPCs because you can play as them, so they're characters.
Every potential character.
Every potential character has attributes and traits mm-hmm. that are procedurally generated. So if somebody's a 90-year-old person, no, they're not going to be running into the middle of a fist fight beating people up and
they
climbing
might be
your
hacker, though.
Yeah, but they could be, you know, the little old lady. Nobody's going to think about her. So this little old lady might be more adept at actually getting into places covertly.
Interesting.
Right? If you have a guy who's like a rocker boy, you know what I mean? He's like super, you know, metalhead.
He's a punker, yeah.
He's a punker. Like, he might be the guy that's rough and tumble and ready to fight with people but can barely use his phone. So, like, every one of these characters has these really cool attributes, and they also have like fears. You have a character that has a fear of heights, so they shouldn't be climbing things. Like, it's really interesting. It's really cool, and I think based on the reviews that I've been seeing, I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm not paying full price for it.
It's your standard $60, right? Yeah. $60.
Yep.
Okay.
Here's the
thing. I've seen another game mm-hmm. attempt to do something like this. And to be fair, it actually did it pretty well. I believe it was the newer Shadows of Mordor.
Yes, but no, not quite.
Because like a lot of those orcs were very different, and they had like specific stories and traits about them. Wasn't it, like you keep hearing
so
the story about the one immortal guy?
Yes. So Shadows of Mordor, essentially, what that was is every boss character was named. And what you did to them persisted throughout the world.
Right.
So if you had an orc that you killed with fire, he would come back as like Ratbag the Burned. And
right.
he would have burn scars all over him. And he would have like a fear of fire now.
Right.
And, you know, he would do everything in his power to not be near fire or be near pitch, for instance.
Right.
So we can't be more susceptible to being set on fire, XYZ. That system is a little different.
But it did work.
It worked, and it worked well.
Yeah.
It actually made a okay game significantly more entertaining.
I agree.
And I hope that is what's happened with Watch Dogs, is that they took a okay game and through this system made something that's actually
so
compelling.
Here's the question. How many characters in what for you to call this system a success? How many characters in Watch Dogs Legions do I have to be able to recruit before I start seeing some repetitiveness? Because eventually you're going to. If truly say, like, you can go thousands of characters in and not see repetitiveness, I'll be stunned.
Well, the thing is that based on the generation, even if you have an NPC that looks similar to another one, their stats will be different.
Right. Because
their jobs will be different.
Right.
So
how many characters?
The permutations could be... I mean, thousands. I would say for me, before, if I hit 60 characters before I start seeing real
duplication,
I think that's a success.
I think if they can get 50 characters deep and I'm still not seeing a lot of sameness, I will call this a massive success. Yeah. I just don't have any faith that that'll happen.
Yeah. From what I've seen more.
Fair enough.
So,
hey, listen, I'll say this. You get two strikes. You know what I mean? They're on strike three right now.
No, they are.
If they promise and fail to deliver again, I don't even want to hear about the next Watch Dogs game.
I'll tell you this. This is the quickest PlayStation Plus free game I would ever download.
Yeah.
Ever.
If this goes PS Plus free, I'm in.
You know,
absolutely.
This promise and a kind of excitement around like what this game is doing brings me back to one game when everyone was losing their mind over like a special thing that they added to it. Mm-hmm. Was when Battlefield added the idea that like you can crash through walls and you can break the environment. That's a lot of this kind of what this seems like to me.
Yeah.
It's like that new step.
Last gen's, or excuse me, that was actually PS3.
Yeah, PS3.
Gen. The PS3 gen destructible environment.
Well, right. And I was kind of that. This is a new one, isn't it?
The PS2's AI improvements.
Yep.
I remember, I'll never forget, when Neverwinter Nights came out, it was such a big thing that, like, I remember like having explained it, like, if you hide in a house, the NPCs were, like, smart enough to, like, go look through a window. And of course, like, that's basic now,
yeah.
But it'd be like, then, like, that blew my mind that I couldn't just, like, hide around a corner to be out of their line of sight and be okay.
Yeah. Or, like, in Assassin's Creed, where the enemies would stab the bales of hay to see if you were hiding in the hay.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, snap. That's great.
Yeah, that's a big change.
Yeah, so this could be something.
Yeah, if they do this well, which it seems like they are, this could be a massive next step for the next gen of games.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many sandbox games end up adopting something like this, but I think it could be really cool. But with that said, we're going to have more coming from Checkpoint Daily, so make sure you guys stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey everybody, this is Norris Howard, host of Checkpoint HP on campus. And if you're wondering, esports in college, that's a thing? Yes, it is. So if you're curious about can your kid or maybe you get an esports scholarship to a university, yes, it's possible. Find out how on Checkpoint XP on campus. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. If you haven't already, if you're a college student, you need to be checking out Checkpoint on campus. If you're not a college student, but you went to college, check out Checkpoint on campus. If you never went to college, but you got a college sports team you love, go listen to Checkpoint on campus. It's the top show about college esports. I host it. Which, you know that means it's quality off the rip.
Yeah,
you know
jaded.
It's good. I'm not jaded, it's quality.
You're biased.
It's quality. It is what it is.
It is a good show.
It's a great show. Anyway, Mandalorian comes out tomorrow.
Yep.
Yes, it does.
We ought to talk about it because, you know, I feel like we've talked about it before in the abstract, sort of not really understanding what was going to be happening to the show. But I want to get some very hard sort of predictions and expectations for this show, because I'm going to be honest, the way season one left off kind of threw us for a loop. And on top of that, in the era of COVID, we don't know how shows really have been produced, yep. not produced. So now that this show is back, what do you guys expect from The Mandalorian? Where can they go with this? And what will they do? What can they do to turn you off from it?
Ooh, okay. Well, there's a lot to break down there. First of all, I'm super geeked for The Mandalorian to return. You want to talk about one of the shining stars of recent Star Wars, because a lot of it has been pretty lukewarm at best. Mandalorian season one was really good. I love the kind of Monster of the Week sort of vibe to it, the Western adventure mm-hmm. setting. I loved it. I thought it was really well done. I thought the acting in it was amazing. All the side characters that we met, I don't think there was a real miss in any of them. And of course, the big reveal at the end of season one with the spoiler alert, the big reveal at the end of season one with the Darksaber yep. coming into it. Very exciting for those of us who've watched Rebels and Clone Wars. So they have so much that they can do. And like the one thing I don't want them to do is tie it heavily into episode 7, 8, and 9. Mm. That's the one thing I really want them to stay away from.
I don't think they will, though.
I don't either. I don't think that's the plan.
Push the first one. I feel like, honestly, to be honest, I feel like the way that they're going, didn't I hear the new trilogy or whatever that they're really stepping away from the Skywalker idea?
Yes, the Old Republic.
I believe the next thing, it's just rumors right now, but the rumors that they're going to do the Old Republic, which is awesome.
Which is great. So I feel like they're kind of stepping away from this whole idea of like the Skywalker-y lifestyle thing that they've kind of played for the last, pretty much the entirety of the series.
I think what we'll continue to see is more characters that we have not gotten answers on that we know have survived, or we at least could have survived until mm-hmm. now. We'll see what they're doing. We'll maybe get an idea of what Hera Syndulla has been up to since Rebels. Yep. Same with Sabine, who is also in Rebels. We do have a couple of Jedi out there that we have remain unaccounted for. We don't know where Ezra is, so there's a possibility we'll meet him at some point. We do know Ahsoka is going to appear mm-hmm. this season in live action for her first time, which is very exciting. I think The Mandalorian is in such a good spot because they don't really...
They haven't tied themselves to anything.
Yeah, they've left themselves so wide open to go wherever they want with it, and they just have to do a couple things to not screw it up.
Well, listen, so easy. Listen, something got thrown into our chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp that literally gave me a body reaction coming from Zod TV, who literally put in one name, Thrawn.
Thrawn. Now, so
I don't even think Thrawn is possible. Is he dead? Not sure if he's dead.
So he, let's see, last we saw it was at the end of Rebels. I think he gets taken with Ezra at the end. I think Ezra and Thrawn both disappear. So I guess he might still be alive.
He could still be, he'd be.
I can't remember if he dies or if he gets exiled basically with Ezra.
Where in the timeline are we with Mando? Do we know?
Pre-episode seven.
So in between, right before Return of the Jedi after Return of the Jedi.
I think.
But before The Force Awakens.
I think it could be.
Boba Fett isn't alive anymore.
No.
Okay.
According to what we know...
Okay, well, Boba Fett falls into a pit,
Boba Fett falls into the Sarlacc, and for all intents and purposes...
Assume.
...is dead.
Yeah, rule of cool. Boba Fett's alive. We'll see him this season.
If he comes... That's the thing. Like that, we were talking about characters that I'd be excited to see. If Mando, like, for a brief moment...
You want to see Robert Fett?
What? I want to see Robert Fett and Mando.
I do not want to see.
I want to see Robert Fett and Mando. One episode. Just one episode.
I don't want to see. No, because
Mando's already so much better than Boba Fett.
Part of what makes The Mandalorian so cool is it is absolutely
that's my
not
point.
Boba Fett.
That's what I want. I want.
Oh, you want him to clown on Boba Fett and piss off all the fanboys? I love that.
I think that would be great.
Okay, if Boba Fett becomes comic relief, which is essentially what he became.
Right.
Anyway.
I feel like Mando just outplaying Boba, like in an episode where like they're trying to go after the same like bounty.
Yo, I would love the concept. All right, I'm following you now. The concept that Boba Fett is actually a trash, bumbling idiot that just so happened to have the Fett name. So therefore, he gets these crazy contracts from the Empire. Like, that's the only reason why he's been able to make a living is because who his dad is, just nepotism.
He's riding on the Fett name.
He's just riding off his dad's coattails.
Like, the Mando can make small references to it and, like, these kind of things. Yeah. I think that would be funny because there's always been that joke about what Boba Fett.
Yeah, he just comes out like Jango was an asshole. Like,
hey, at least I didn't lose to a blind guy.
Yeah, exactly.
These little quips. That you can say.
No, I get it. I'm all right.
If Boba Fett's the laughing stock of every Mandalorian.
I'm happy to see Boba Fett get clowned on for a little
bit.
Bounty
hunters. In general.
It's gonna be something dumb though. We're gonna learn that like I don't know, Boba Fett's gonna be like going after the Darksaber or something garbage.
Yeah,
like that.
But listen, I think to your point, Callie, there's a lot of ground and a lot of wiggle room that they have. I think what you could do with the Mandalorian that I think would be absolutely lights out is begin even more so to remove his story away from some sort of greater Star Wars narrative.
Yeah.
I think all of the best stories outside of Rogue One that I've ever read from Star Wars have always been about something not happening with the grander sort of,
right.
The grander sort of thing. We talk about Jedi Fallen Order. Jedi Fallen Order is great specifically because it is not trying to make this huge tie-in to everything else.
And because
it's a galaxy. Shit's happening everywhere.
And even because at the end of it, the characters even realize that we can't interfere with this.
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting.
You know what the funny thing about Mando is that, like, he's the hero, essentially, of the show,
yeah.
right? But the only person he ever really saves is himself and Baby Yoda.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, and so on it's that not one like occasion, he's like Gina Luke Carano's Skywalker. Character. He's not trying to do all these things. No. He's not even Rogue One status where they're like trying to save.
Where they do the right thing at the end.
Do the right
yeah.
thing for, at the very end. Yeah. It's like he's just living for himself and he just, you know, felt for this child.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are the things. Like by the end of this season, we're probably going to have a better idea of who the child is. Obviously, the child's force sensitive. I'm assuming that's why Ahsoka is going to be involved in the season, that, you know, there's a force sensitive child and Ahsoka is one of the few remaining force users out there. Because at this point, the only Force users that we have out there that we know of...
Baby Yoda,
Ezra, Ahsoka, Luke.
Yep.
Those are, I believe...
Leia.
And Leia, who is Force sensitive, and it might be training at this point.
I think right now she's training, yes.
I think Luke is probably
training.
Wait,
no, because
right
technically
now.
That got retconned in Rise of the Skywalker, and Leia was training that whole time through the OT. Like, after Empire, she started training.
She starts training after Rise.
No, yeah, you're right. You're right. After Jedi.
So, yeah, Leia's probably trained by this point.
She's trained by now.
And right. Luke is actually, depending on, I don't know if we're shortly after Return of the Jedi or if we're shortly
we
before
have to
Force
be because
Awakens.
These are remnants of the actual Empire. So not the
not
First,
the First Order.
Order.
Yeah, the First Order hasn't risen yet.
So this is the actual Empire. So we can't be that far removed from Jedi. This is fairly recent.
So hold on. There'd be only about, 30 years in between this, essentially.
Because there were 20 years in between episodes six and seven. So we're somewhere in there. We're maybe 5 years.
Five years.
I'm blanking on the bad guy from the last
Kylo
trilogy.
Ren.
Kylo Ren. So yeah. would he have
he's
had
a kid.
The,
he's
I
like
know,
baby.
But he has the Force, wouldn't he?
He's a Force user, yes.
Yeah, he's Force.
Maybe, if Leia and Han have had kids at this point. Yeah, I guess he would be,
he'd be born by now.
Yeah. He's probably
born.
Young.
He'd at least be training with Luke at this point.
No, he'd be
no
like,
I think he's
he'd
probably
be like
an infant still.
A baby.
Is he a baby baby? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me see if they've actually given us a canon timeline. Yeah.
But either way, the point is that I think... And a lot of people hate when I say this. I think the less you involve the Jedi in The Mandalorian, the better the show
is. Oh, are you kidding? I feel like the outside of the child, that should be the only...
So The Mandalorian takes place at 9 ABY. So that's 9 years,
after
the Battle of Yavin. So that is
so
7 years after episode 6.
Yep.
So it's been 7 years. So Kylo's probably 2 or 3.
2 or 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Because low-key, technically, when episode 7 starts, they're all kind of young. They're all like...
Oh, wait a minute. I'm wrong. Sorry. The Force Awakens happens in 34 ABY, so there's 30 years in between them. So Kylo's not born yet.
Yeah, they're still young. That's what I'm saying. They're young. And
yeah.
when episode 7
So
happens.
Yeah, Leia's training right now. She doesn't have any kids with Han yet.
Yep.
Got it.
Okay. Yep.
So he doesn't exist yet. Got
no,
it.
No. Guys, no. We were never going to get Mara Jade. Stop it. in the chat. They're
Mara
all talking
Jade.
About Mara Jade.
Oh, no.
Marla?
No.
No.
Okay.
Listen, okay. Mara Jade's an awesome character.
Mara Jade.
Don't get me wrong.
I don't know that.
In the expanded universe before it all got destroyed.
Oh, God. This is a Callie moment here. Oh, God.
Actually, Callie. Very Callie. Very briefly, the tale of Mara Jade.
Okay, so Mara Jade was trained by Emperor Palpatine. Yes, he survived. He cloned himself. Don't worry about it. He's still alive, okay. Which they did actually steal for episode 9. Mara Jade was an assassin trained by Emperor Palpatine to assassinate Luke Skywalker, but instead she realized that he's like a huge dick. So she was like, you know what? Never mind. I'm going to get me some of that. And they totally fall in love with each other and become this super badass, awesome, like dynamic duo. They found a new Jedi Order, betray Palpatine. He's super butthurt about it, by the way.
Palpatine is?
Yeah, oh, Emperor okay. Pip-Pop, he is not
he's
happy.
He's not happy about
this. No, Emperor Pip-Pop is not good. Mara Jade is actually awesome. Like,
it's a great
of
character.
All the stuff in the Legends universe that I absolutely hate, I don't hate Mara Jade. She's
who
pretty
is,
fucking
who
cool.
ends up killing her? She ends up dying.
Does she die during the Yuuzhan Vong?
I think the Yuuzhan Vong killer.
I hope not. Who
God,
killed Mara
suck.
Jade?
Anyway, but the point is that we were never going to get Mara Jade, so go away.
Oh, and also she's super pretty. This is one thing that remains true of all of the expanded universe stuff. The hero gets to date the sexiest women in the universe.
Okay.
Cade Skywalker.
A descendant of Luke Skywalker, Cade Skywalker,
in his parachute pants.
A guy so powerful in the Force, he literally takes drugs to not be Force sensitive because it bothers him.
Yeah, well, specifically because Luke bothers
him. Yeah, because Luke is like,
quit fucking around! You have the Force!
Anyway, he takes drugs so Luke can leave him alone.
Okay.
He literally dates a woman from a species that emit pheromones so that everyone around them thinks they are the hottest thing in the world.
Oh, I think she gets killed by Jason Solo.
Oh, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
Jason Solo?
Jaina and Jason Solo, Han and Leia.
Kelly!
I am not going down this rabbit hole with you.
Yes, no.
Back to Mando.
They have three kids. They have Jason, Jaina, and Ben Solo.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Jason kills Ben. That's
listen,
rough.
Listen.
Oh,
at the end of
he turns to the Darth. He becomes Darth Cadus.
At the end of the day, based off what the hell we got with the expanded universe, that would have been better.
As it turns out, it wouldn't. Well,
it wouldn't have been.
I don't
worse.
Want to say it would have been.
It would have been better.
It's really bad.
I know it. I read it, Callie. It's terrible. But it would have been better than what we got. Mandalorian.
Okay, Mandalorian. Right, where Jason and Jaina Solo will not be showing up.
Yes. How can they screw this up very quickly?
What if, oh my God, what if they do? What if Jason and Jaina Solo are in it and we find out they die in it and that's why they're not in episode 7? And Han and Leia have lost 3 kids. They did have Jason, Jaina, and Ben. Oh my God, I will actually kill myself.
What if they're like minor characters where it's just like,
no,
they're just like in the background of, and like Mando leaves a ship and the ship explodes in the background. And he's like, whatever.
They just die off screen. I'm like, wow, that is a big slap in the face to all the EU geeks. I'd actually love that. I'd be so happy.
I feel like I really kind
of
hope they play.
First of all,
like
impossible.
That.
They would have to die as like 5-year-olds.
Yeah, I know. Like they're born and they die when they're 5.
That's fair. You're right. I forgot they're really young.
Well, no. It sucks. It's a bad idea. Don't involve
them. So what's interesting, right, is season 1 of The Mandalorian, it didn't involve anyone important, and that's why it's interesting. No one important comes into the story, but we know someone important has to eventually, because for a character like the child to exist, well, I mean, that's a big deal. It's Yoda.
Wait, it's Yoda's species,
and he's a Force user. We need an explanation for why we haven't seen him in 7,
wait,
8,
wait, wait.
9.
Does it have to be someone important as far as like someone we've seen already? Could it just be someone important that is outside of all the EU, everything we've ever heard? It could be a new important person?
No, it has to be somebody important enough that somehow tangentially connects it to everything else happening, but doesn't interfere with what happened in 7, 8, 9.
That's why I think it's Ahsoka. Because
well, it has to be.
I mean, obviously, knowing that she's in the season, it prompts us to wonder, okay, why? We thought she had died. Turns out she lived. She survived through Rebels. She is one of the ones that goes off into the universe. We haven't seen her since then, but we know she's still around.
And is an incredibly powerful
Incredibly powerful Force user. The only Padawan of Anakin Skywalker.
You don't have to be a Jedi to be a Force user.
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The Sith would be proof of that.
Because I'm trying to figure out, like, in the newer films, they reference how, like, Luke's the last one and Rey's the last one, blah, blah,
blah. The last Jedi.
Last Jedi.
Not the last Force user.
Last Force user, which correct. In my head, I guess I always
that is literally
the same.
That is literally the point of the last Jedi.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I meant I put the Jedi and the Force users
one
in
the
like
same in
one
head?
Box.
Yeah.
So,
no.
So Ahsoka leaves the Jedi Order, which, by the way, I did not know that was something you were allowed to do.
Yeah.
They turn you into a magical force wizard and give you a laser sword, and then they just say you can leave? That, I don't know about that.
That
now, admittedly,
force
they
you?
Accused her of murder, and they were wrong.
Didn't Keelan Voss leave?
Keelan Voss turned to the dark side, so I
yeah,
guess
right.
he left.
Yeah.
He turned to the dark side and eventually was redeemed.
Yeah, that's true.
But I guess you would call
that's
that
what I'm
leaving
saying.
In
that's
a very
leaving.
Extreme
yeah.
sense.
But yeah,
that's how they usually leave the Jedi Order, is they go murderous.
Yeah. But the point is that for The Mandalorian, I think, for season two to be successful and continue being the phenomenon that it is, I think they need to toe the line. They need to toe the line between using too much of the sort of extended universe stuff in the original, you know, in the trilogies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the point is that people like your mom, who like Baby Yoda,
yeah.
don't necessarily need all the other stuff
no,
for the show to be important. I think if you keep the Monster of the Week format,
yep.
if you sort of thread the story through and don't necessarily lean too heavily on these other references, I think you continue the story being really powerful and really engaging.
I agree.
I just know Disney.
Yeah.
And they're not going to do that.
I don't know. Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, Ahsoka is theoretically one of the most important characters in the story today at this timeline. She would have been one of the most important characters in episode 4, 5, or 6 if we knew where the hell she was.
Here's another avenue that they could go. And I actually think
they murder everyone. I like it.
Well, yeah, yes. But
and then they get the Alderaanian crown jewels back.
Instead of reintroducing, you know, old characters for nostalgia sake, because the problem about that is, like, a lot of these outside the newer films, they're all aging actors, so getting them is a lot of work.
Or some of them are
literally
dead.
Some of them are gone.
Yeah.
That kind of makes it difficult. But what they could do, and I kind of hope they go this route, is drum up excitement around famous actors playing new characters and roles.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way to do it than instead of bringing like old characters back. Because again, this is a 70s. It's been in the 70s.
Well, we don't need to see Luke. We don't need to see Leia
or
Han.
You can have reference. Fine.
If they want to reference him, I don't care.
But that's like the Trinity of the Justice League, right? It's like Luke, Leia, and Han are Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
Right.
For anything in the DC universe to work, you don't need it to spin it around them.
No.
Take that approach.
You can reference that they exist because they do and they're important.
Yes, but you don't need them for a good story to exist.
Correct. I think if you look at, I think Ahsoka works in this case because we've never seen her in live action before, so there's not that issue to deal with. And she is a character that, for people who don't know her, she'll just seem like a cool mystical force user that showed up out of nowhere. And for everyone who watched Rebels, we're going to go, oh, finally.
What you want, and we'll end on this, what The Mandalorian wants is they want to introduce characters who, if they've been in other stuff, they want people to go, oh, snap, they're badass. Who is that?
Yeah.
Which is good news, because the characters that we have for them to introduce that way are all badasses. Like, if we see an older Sabine Wren, who's now a fully trained assassin, like, she's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So if you do that and you make people go, oh, crap, and now it's become a feedback loop because people buy another year of Disney Plus to watch Rebels and this, that, and the third, that's how you got to do it. So if you introduce Ahsoka, Ahsoka better be, somebody got to die. Somebody got to die in a bad way.
You know, like, what we're going to find out this season?
Mm.
Who is Baby Yoda?
Yep.
I really hope so.
Who's
I'm
the
really
child?
Excited for that.
I mean, so what do you think? Who is the child?
I have zero idea. I don't know.
I think Pip Pop cloned Yoda.
Ooh.
I think Pip Pop cloned Yoda to try to create a perfect Sith. Because
we
saw in Clone Wars what happens when Yoda goes to the dark side, and it's bad.
So
it's bad for everyone.
Pip Pop cloned Yoda 50 years ago?
No, he just has his genetic material.
And he made him 50
so,
years old?
Well, think about this, right?
The baby's 50.
Right.
Well, no, his species ages, weird.
Remember,
yeah, no, but they say
right.
he is 50 years
Baby
old.
Baby Yoda's 50, right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so 50 years ago would be episode 3.
Oh, okay. All right. You got
when it. They had their duel.
Ah.
I think we're about to find out that Baby Yoda's a pit pop. Is
hey!
A
All right, I was just making sure that the timeline
worked out.
Hey,
that was slap!
Is that your own conspiracy theory?
I'm sure I'm not the only one who said it, but
yo, that was my theory slap. If you want to get me involved in this series wholeheartedly, you tell me that there's a clone Yoda rolling around who got a mean streak.
Clona?
Why else would he be in the care of Imperials?
Yes!
I'm in.
That's what, like in a random, like, because clearly that group of Imperials is our original Imperials.
Yes.
They are
OG Imperials.
OG Imperials, loyal to Palpatine still. Even 7 years after he's gone, they're still procuring his plans, and Baby Yoda's a big part of it. I'm telling you.
And by the way, low key probably know that he has clones and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is why
we might get a reference to Exegol or something like that.
Which is why they're still sticking around.
As much as I don't want them to have to tie it into Episode 9 any. They probably will.
I'm just saying that makes sense as to why you have these little clusters of Imperials who are still sticking around. By the way, all of them led by either some admiral or Moff or somebody like that. Somebody high ranking enough to know that there's a clone facility on Exegol.
Let me see. There is it 20 years in between episodes 3 and 4?
Mm. No. 3 and 4?
Yeah, 3 and 4.
18
years.
Yeah.
So it's 18 years between 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And then 2 years between 3 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then 34 years between then and the war. So Baby Yoda would have had to have been made in like episode 1 era. Mm-hmm. Episode 2 maybe.
I mean, they could get fuzzy with the math.
Yeah, they can screw around with the math a little bit.
Yeah, they could get fuzzy with the math because think about it. Palpatine, Senator Palpatine, has absolutely met and talked with Yoda.
Many times.
Many, many, many times. So it wouldn't necessarily have to have been during their duel.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to continue to theorize about this. We don't want to bore your brain with all these EU stats and all this good stuff. But listen, we hope everybody enjoys The Mandalorian and all that good stuff. I think that theory is lights out, Callie, by the way. So I'm excited to hear all about it. That's going to be our show for today. So for Callie Scales, as she continues to search for this answer. And Chad Callahan, who has been completely ostracized from this conversation.
I have my input here.
Yeah, and I think it was good. We are going to have more on Friday, so we will see you guys then. Have a blast. Have a good Friday Eve. Bye.
Hey, what's up? It's James Campbell. Every week on Checkpoint XP On Demand, I'm joined by my co-hosts Weird Beard and Robbie Landis as we bring you a layman's perspective on all things esports and gaming. So whether it's the latest in Overwatch, Ninja doing something crazy, or a Mario Battle Royale, we'll cover it. You can get it on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.